Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Maybach, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Hi.
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 Hey.
Hey, girl. We can help each other if we lift each other.
What, how does the Gaga song go?
Hey, girl, with Flo.
No, the new one, Stupid Love.
Oh. I want your stupid love, love, da 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 da.
I want your sexy, unique.
I want your sexy, unique podcast, baby. I want your sexy, you. Okay. I'm in a bold lip right now. I'm sitting in Lara's apartment wearing mascara and lipstick while we do this. And you're listening to Sexy,
Unique Podcast.
Tough Sicilian bitches. I'm Carrie.
I'm Lara.
And yeah, we're reporting live from West Hollywood.
We're in the epicenter of everything gay.
We just did a photo shoot.
We did a photo shoot for our New York City live show poster.
By Greg Kozatek, who's
a genius.
Fucking genius. But
everyone follow him at Kozatek.
We won't let you know what the poster is.
But we will let you know that we took to the streets.
We took to the streets of West Hollywood.
In golden hour.
In golden hour, magic hour light on a nearly empty street and took photos of each other in blinding sunlight while I was wearing mascara and a bold lip that Laura helped me with.
And it looks great.
But I did my own mascara.
Your mascara? I'm a huge supporter of you and mascara.
Thank you.
The bold lip I also support, though I think it is slightly garish. It's
extremely off-putting. It makes my teeth look orange because it's on my teeth now. But it was worth it.
It's all worth it. You'll do anything for art.
We are both, as many of you probably are, and many across the world are, we are swept up in the cheer mania.
Cheer
on Netflix.
Yeah, it is the best show.
If you haven't seen it, describe it.
It follows a group of cheerleaders that are in a junior college,
yeah,
but they're the best cheer team in the entire country.
Maybe the world?
Yeah, maybe the world. And it's like this junior college is known for having like the number one cheer team, and it follows their journey in preparation for Daytona, which are the cheer championships.
Which I think is where they go and bring it on.
right?
I think so. I'm not really sure. I remember it used to be on like ESPN. Like you used to be able to watch it.
I remember that.
And I would watch it all growing up.
It's amazing.
It's incredible.
And you're from Oklahoma, so there were probably intense cheerleading teams there, right?
I think there were. I was never really exposed to them because as a private school girl, our cheerleading teams were like, you shake a pom-pom and like jump in the air. Like they weren't doing like tumbling. Maybe some cheerleaders did do that on the team, but it was like pretty low stakes cheering.
I mean, I've never like, so yeah, it's at Navarro College, which is in the middle of
Texas, like Corsicana, Texas.
Corsicana, Texas. And it's
truly a kill me now town.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very conservative town. They talk about it like it's very like clearly Trump supporting area.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just have this like bastion of light at this school of these like diverse, like amazing kids who are just defying gravity.
Who are
physics.
Like a family of superior athletes.
Yeah, it's Cirque du Soleil kind of shit. Like it's my jaw has been dropped watching it because I'm just like, how do people achieve that? Like that's superior genes.
Yeah. You just train and train and train.
And Monica.
Their bodies are just like a muscle.
It is. And their coach is this woman, Monica, who's fucking iconic.
We need.
She needs to be on this podcast.
I need Monica ASAP. I need her in my life, like managing my existence.
You need to play her in her biopic.
I think too. I feel like I could embody
you. Have Monica energy.
Fuck Kris Jenner. It's all about Monica.
She's like this hot like Texan lady with like suede boots and like big coats.
She's always cold.
And she has a giant iPod and she has like really great skin and like is tan as
fuck. A French square tip manicure.
Yes, and her hair is always straight, and she has like a lot of makeup on, and she's chewing gum at all times.
They all are chewing gum.
They are,
which is one of the craziest parts to me is that they're constantly like being flipped and thrown across rooms
with like orbit in their mouth.
Yeah, just like chomping on gum, like it's NBD.
No,
that's
Monica,
the only sport where besides like baseball, but that's not nearly as physical.
Yeah, Monica is like, I've been going. Like any kind of coach figure, like you go through, you love her for a second and then you're like, oh my God, she's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And like she's so unaffected by when people fall and when they like hurt them. Like she has to be because it's just part of the sport.
Yeah.
But she just stares with this burning glare in her eye of like just complete plays and determination and moot and choreography. You know, she's not on this earth.
She's not reactive to anything, which is really amazing to watch. There's one part
and chilling.
Yeah, but like I think ultimately it's super powerful.
It is amazing.
There's one part in like that I think it's the fifth or sixth episode where one of the girls like falls and is potentially injured, and then she's like laying there because every time these kids fall, it's like really bad.
Yeah.
And they're like laying there like crying for a while, and Monica is just standing next to them like staring at them, and then she's like, I think I really like, I just like heard like a snap or something. Monica goes, cool. Like she is, her motto is don't ever react to anything, because the second she reacts it'll freak everyone else out. So she's just like cool as a fucking cucumber 24/7.
It's very like general in army.
Yeah.
Like, she'd be great on, like, the battlefields. Like,
I trust her with my life.
On the front line.
And I've never even met her.
No, that's the thing. And these kids, they just have, like, the most... Some of them have, like, such harrowing backstories. And, like, they all come... A lot of them come from really broken homes. And they've, like, just found their solace in cheerleading.
Mm-hmm.
And the really sad thing is, like, it's only these... This is only a two-year college. So a lot of them will just be done forever. Once they've competed at Daytona, which is...
It's sad. And also, cheer itself is not a sustainable lifestyle. Like, even if you do make it to cheer for a professional sports team, you don't make any money doing that.
No, it's
which
all
is
about...
insane to think about the discrepancy between...
I know.
Like, cheerleaders and then the other athletes that are playing, like, on these teams. I think there was an article... about that or a documentary, something that I watched fairly recently, I want to say, that really got into like the nitty gritty, because there's also so many rules about fraternizing with players and how the cheerleaders are supposed to conduct themselves and like all of this shit. And you can get fired like at any time.
So they're expecting them to be like chased, kind of.
Yeah, they're chased. They also like aren't paid. I feel like they're paid like $30,000 to $40,000 a year.
Yeah,
like
it's all about
not
the,
like a livable wage. It's just being able to be like have that kind of street cred and then try and use it to like help out your modeling career, your Instagram.
Yeah.
It's really backwards.
Well, it's like you get the perks, you travel around the world, like you
but just kind like of, pay them each no, like obviously. $100,000.
They should be making six figures.
Yeah.
Or like some of them for like the Patriots or like the Cowboys, you know what I mean? Like those kind of iconic teams.
It's very weird to think about how cheerleaders are valued less as they get older, because in high school I feel, and it's probably not this way anymore because obviously like the world is different than us growing up, but like the cheerleader has always been like the most popular girl in school,
yeah.
Like the hottest people ever, cheerleaders.
Right.
And it's like the best social currency you could ask for, and everyone like looks up to you. It wasn't like that at my school.
Me neither. Like I,
where is it then that this
I
is like
it's
happening?
The South and
it's
like
the South.
And like the Southwest and stuff. But like I went to two high schools. In high school, I transferred, so I ended up at an all-boys school in Philly, and obviously we didn't have a cheerleading team, but it was, like, at my public school in my town, the cheerleading team was, like, not, I mean, they were, like, good, I guess, but, like, no one really, it was more of, like, the girls were playing, like, you know, track or soccer or basketball or swimming, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So the cheerleaders, like, didn't really have that same cachet as like the social cachet, I mean, as like these people or like in the Oklahoma or Texas like high school, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I never had that experience with them, but like it always was glamorous to me and like interesting.
Like I always thought they were really hot.
Yeah.
And I was very jealous of like them getting to wear their uniforms like on game days, because we had uniforms at my school, so then they would get to like dress up and like it just seemed like a sexy thing to do.
It was. And like,
I guess it's always been like really sexy, and then TBD how much it's been valued.
I don't think it has. And like, they kind of go into it like when cheerleading first came about, like in the 50s or whatever, the girls all had to be very, I think they kind of said what you were saying, like kind of these girls next door are like very well behaved. And then that guy in like the 60s kind of revolutionized cheerleading and brought it into like becoming more of a sport. That like gay guy and like good God bless him, like back in like the 50s like revolutionized it and like made it more of like, oh, you can go on to be a cheerleader in college and stuff.
Yeah,
but
the kind of cheer they're doing is like nowhere near the level of cheer that we like that I saw.
No, it's like gymnastics.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like
tumbling effortlessly.
It's like Olympic
doing
shit.
Like,
why is it not an Olympic sport?
Why isn't it? It
I
should
don't know.
Be an Olympic sport.
And why can't it be like a pro, like more of a pro, like a long career?
I don't know. I think like by the time you're in your 20s, like your body is no longer willing to cheer.
I mean, everyone is so strong. The guys are like, they're the ones who are the stunt. What are they? The studs? The stunts? They're holding them up.
Yeah, I don't know.
And the girls just like holding each other up, and the sounds they make when they're holding it, they're like, ah! They're like, catch it, catch it. You know, they're all like, I mean, it's so intense.
Yeah.
It's like a war movie.
If I tried to do any of that, my body would break.
No.
My arm would just like fall out of its socket.
I can't even do like a pull-up.
I watched all these like gymnastics on like Nickelodeon or something. And I was like, oh my God, they make it like, this is how hard it is. Like, not hard at all. This is so easy. Like, I'm going to do this. And then I like turned off the TV and just like walked to the edge of the couch and then attempted to just like casually front flip. And then instead just swan dived onto the ground, fractured my shoulder.
No.
And I was just like, oh man. Like,
God bless
this
you.
Sucks. But it was like, that's the thing. They just make it look so easy. You think that you can do it.
How long were you like injured for? That's so
I was
fucked.
In like a sling for.
You were like, I'm going to do this now.
I was like, and now it's my turn.
And now it's
and
for me.
And I stepped up to like the arm of the couch, like stood on it and then was ready to just like fully flip.
I love that for you.
I know. And then just like was like.
I did like baby gym. Or like I went, oh, yeah. When I was a kid, I...
Where you just do like a somersault.
Yeah, and you
ground.
Like go on a rope and like fall into a foam pit or something.
Yeah,
but
you'd have like birthday parties where you'd do that.
And I did diving, which was...
That's
cause
gymnastic.
I was a swimmer, but a lot of my friends at our summer club were doing diving. And my two best friends growing up, they were awesome swimmers, but they were incredible divers. Like these, there were two brothers, my best friends, Matt and Tommy, and... They were so fucking good at diving, and like they would do like the craziest shit. And then I was like, I can do it too.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so bad. Like at our tri-county meet, I think there were like 11 people competing, and I got like 10th. Like I was so horrible, but it was scary. Like any.
Yeah, you dive off like a high dive.
Yeah.
And you're expected to like flip and do all this shit before you hit the water.
Matt and Tommy were like able to like, they would jump on the edge of the diving board. Like, you know, they would to wind up, like they would get mm-hmm. some bounce going. And I would just watch them and be like, I don't know how they're doing that.
Mm.
And then I would try to do a back dive.
Oh my God. The scariest.
I was like, oh my God. But it's amazing. And Jerry is a national hero on cheer.
Oh, Jerry.
Jeremiah.
Yeah, love him.
And
I love Ladarius.
Ladarius is the coolest.
He's my favorite.
I mean,
they're all my favorite. By the end, I truly was like, God, I love these kids. I love them.
Who's the one? Oh, Lexi, the one with the platinum hair.
Lexi seems very troubled.
But I liked her energy a little.
I love her energy. I worry for her.
I worry too. But I liked her being kind of the Tanya Harding of the team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's just like, I don't have what the other kids have. Like, I just kind of have
she
natural
just, like,
talent.
She flip.
Yeah.
A million times.
And I love when she does it. Monica's like, gosh, she's a beast.
Yeah, she's a beast.
I also love when Morgan's about to try out and she goes, this isn't going to be good. She's saying it to her while looking at Morgan.
Yeah.
Like she says it to the assistant coach.
And then you just see how far they come over the course of the season. It was just so well done.
I know. I had to turn it off last night when someone gets injured.
Oh, there's like so many more injuries.
And then
there's nothing but like injury after injury.
I was so stressed. And then I went on Twitter and the first thing I saw was a New York Times article about coronavirus being like a 60% increase in one night in China.
Yo, coronavirus?
I brought masks over for Laura.
That was a true friend thing to do.
Well, they're selling out.
Yeah.
My mom in Miami went out to get some and no CVS had it.
Damn.
So.
I was looking on Etsy today because I was like, I want like a designer mask, but I'm not going to pay for like a Louis Vuitton mask. So I was like, who's making knockoff like Louis masks? And I found someone on Etsy. But then you said you were coming over, so I was like, I shouldn't spend $25 on this knockoff Louis mask.
What if it becomes like just the new normal and like everyone's just and people start like making their masks like personalized?
I mean, I would love like to coordinate with an outfit.
Yeah, like an acrylic mask.
Like when we go out on the road and we're going in these airports or whatever.
If it's still happening,
we're masking the fuck up.
Did you watch Naomi Campbell's flight prep video where she shows,
yeah,
and
she
wears a mask, she has gloves on, and she Lysols every surface. And I was like, that's someone that's going to survive.
Yeah. Naomi is fully in survival mode.
So I'm going to start doing that.
They don't clean off any of the seats. You're literally sitting in something that like 20 other people have sat in over the course of 24 hours.
It's pretty freaky. You know this, but like a lot, like my friends, people in my life like to make fun of me and say that I'm like if there's an earthquake or something, they're like, God, I'm so happy for you, Carrie.
Because there's an earthquake last week.
I know.
Did you feel it?
Yes.
Yeah. I was in bed reading and then I was just like,
That was a jolt.
That was a jolt quake.
It wasn't like the undulating earthquake.
It was still like a just a yawn, like a long jolt.
Yeah, but I feel like this is actually a little scary.
Coronavirus.
Yeah.
Do you think the Chinese government is covering up the severity of?
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
I'm team whistleblower.
Oh, the nurse?
The nurse who said that there are actually 90,000 people infected.
Probably more.
Yeah.
By now. I mean, experts are now saying...
Experts are now saying...
The experts are now... But people are now saying...
I don't...
Kind of verify, like saying that that's probably true.
Yeah, I don't trust China at all.
Well, I think the stock market dipped yesterday because of it. Like, it's probably... It's good... I get why they're censoring it, because China has so much...
It will, destabilize their economy.
And the world, because we depend on China for everything. So it's just a fucking mess. But everyone, just be cautious.
Your hot take on coronavirus, it's just a fucking mess.
Just a fucking mess.
It's just a real mess.
Just a real mess. And also, my favorite detail is that Contagion... I just saw a Hollywood Reporter article that Contagion...
is trending.
Is, in the top 10 on iTunes.
Yeah, I saw that over the weekend.
I watched it last week at work.
I was looking for a movie to watch, and then it was Contagion was number 4.
Tell Gwyneth.
Hell yes.
Tell Gwyneth.
Give Gwyneth those checks.
Why didn't she get nominated for an Oscar for that role?
She was really good.
I know it was a small role, but she gets her head, the skin on her, that was kind of a bold...
She
for Gwen to do
makes
that
big bold choices.
But she gets her head sawed off to when they're giving her an autopsy.
Yeah,
and you see her face as, and you see her I mean, that was
her. I love her Contagion face. She it's has, iconic, and I love that it's the cover of the movie.
That?
Yeah.
That's me, once a week.
Yeah, that's me on a day-to-day basis. Me waking up in the morning when my alarm goes off.
Me last 2 weeks ago with a stomach infection. Mm-hmm. I was Gwyneth.
You were full Contagion.
That's a great movie.
Did you watch...
That's amazing in that movie.
Everyone's so good.
Marion Cotillard.
Yeah.
She's all right.
Is she good? Did we all just get fooled? I think she's actually amazing.
She's amazing. But that was just like a... But I guess at the end she... But anyway. But Gwyneth was the star of that movie.
Truly. Have you watched any Goop Lab?
No. I have to.
Well, I'll have to save that conversation for another day.
One, because you said you were obsessed. So tell
me one. I'm obsessed
with
it. I've watched all 6 episodes, obviously, within the first 24 hours it was out,
right,
just
of course.
Consumed them.
Yeah, you should be in it.
And I felt, I've actually been struggling because I'm not in it or involved with it in any way. I saw on, truly, I feel left out, and it was a personal attack on me that I haven't, no one's reached out to me.
I'm surprised.
And cause I've been on Goop's dick since literally the first day she sent out the very first Goop email. It came straight to my inbox. I think I signed up even before you could, even before there was an email. I've truly...
You're a longtime supporter.
I've been down the Goop road. I've cooked an entire Thanksgiving dinner for my family made of only Goop recipes. It's real. And then when I saw on Instagram that there was a premiere... And I hadn't been invited to it. And I haven't seen any other influence. I was just wait.
I'm upset for you.
No, I felt it was rude. And then I was I know. Had I known, I would have tried to email a bunch of people I know that work at Netflix and begged them to get me in.
Yeah.
But I'm also why didn't you guys think of me?
Why aren't you on the red carpet?
I don't know. The red vulva.
Yeah.
That rose vulva that everyone posed in front of.
They had that. I didn't even look.
They had that at the
oh
thing.
Oh my God.
Gwyneth is posing in front of it in a full G label outfit that's just
I'm disappointed
kind of
in
a bra
her.
And white pants with her abs out.
No.
It's amazing.
Amazing. But I'm disappointed in her.
I'm disappointed in everyone.
Yeah.
But I will forgive.
I won't.
You'll hold a chip on your shoulder. I'm forgiving you all things.
I won't forgive for you.
Okay.
You can take your lack of forgiveness for them not inviting you to the premiere. And give it to me.
Okay.
And I'll take it and I'll
hold on
to that.
Take on my pain.
I will. Because that they should have you be a Goop correspondent.
I would love nothing
because
more.
Not only do you you actually get it and you listen to her podcast, you take it seriously, but you also know it's insane at the same time.
Yeah. I love it for how insane it is, but then deep down, it's my love for Vanderpump Rules and Goop are the exact same level of love.
No, but you actually get something out of Goop, which is, I think, what they need.
Yeah.
So I'm putting an all points bulletin out.
Thank you.
I'm going to call the police.
Can we just like get this trending and like fix this horrible wrong?
I'm reporting
like, justice
them.
For Lara.
I'm going to report Goop to the FBI.
Because even like back in the day, I tweeted a picture that was Lara and Gwyneth like in the style of Julie and Julia. And then she commented on that on Instagram.
No.
Yes.
Oh my God, I remember that.
And like, so then where is my invite? She said, I'm in. And this
it's going to happen. Like, you're going to be on the pod.
I feel like eventually one day I will. And so that's just my motivation is I'm like, look, I'm going to have to just like step up my pussy game in order to like achieve Goop level recognition.
I also, Goop.
By that, I mean not by the general public. I just mean by Gwyneth and or Elise.
Or Jessica Seinfeld.
You need to be... Whose meatballs I have made... Actually, no, I made Gwyneth's meatballs. I never made Jessica's.
That's okay.
And Gwyneth's were really good.
She's great, but she... I feel like I saw some... You sent me, or someone sent me the... Where she's trying out that, like, margarita machine or that cocktail machine that Goop has. And she has, like, a bunch of her interns or her employees.
Oh, yeah, and they all... It's like SponCon for, like, a liquor brand.
I was like, why are you not in there?
I don't know.
Because those people were not funny.
Guess what?
They were not lawless.
Missed opportunity.
It is a missed opportunity.
And, oh my God, they have the energy healer and Julianne Hough in an episode. And they do a full energy healing. Julianne Hough, okay, I'm all for this energy healer guy. I fully believe in,
subscribe. I tried
to
look up videos of him.
Julianne Hough is obsessed with him to a level that I've never seen anyone obsessed with anyone in my life.
Wait,
and she does, she, I think, travels around with him and just does demonstrations of this everywhere.
She's like the magician's assistant.
She is. And she still writhes and she's like, and like her body's writhing around. It's the most performative thing I've ever seen.
False prophet.
He does do it on other people and your body moves.
She's a little bit of a false prophet for him.
I don't trust her.
I don't either.
I do trust him.
Okay.
But Julianne, there's something. It's not something quite right.
Well, we've talked about her and her husband, right?
Yeah, Brooks Leach.
That like she came out as bi, I guess, or she's like not straight.
Oh, that makes me actually. I have to be quite
I've got to be quite honest with you. I think
now
you should
a little more into her.
Well, no,
she
yeah,
might be my in
because she's
who do I have to fuck to get Goop to recognize?
Yeah, so you need to seek Julianne out and also seek out Goop. But she admitted, I think, not admitted, she like did a profile or something. She said, I'm not straight, but I'm not really sure what that means. So I'm kind of like, love that for her. And then her husband, who's like this hot ex hockey player, is like, I'm now
he's questioning his sexuality.
Yeah. And which I'm like, that kind of makes sense. Like they got together and they both probably are a little closeted.
Yeah.
I don't know. But he said that she inspired him to look inward, so I would like to seek him out.
Really want to know what happens in a relation, like a straight quote unquote relationship, where both people come away from it being like, I don't think I'm straight.
Yeah, like what went on in there?
What went into whose butt?
But so I'm like, I know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I love it.
No.
I'm here for like discovering another side of your sexuality, but I'm just like lol you too.
I think it's kind of cool because isn't she kind of Christian?
She's, I think, super Christian.
So it is kind of cool that someone who's potentially a cult leader and is in a... Well, she also is a disciple of Tony Robbins, so I'm sus of her.
Yeah. You've had her number from day one.
I was like, I remember watching that doc on Netflix and like Maria Menounos, Derek Hough, and Julianne Hough all make cameos in the Tony Robbins doc.
And I've been a fan of Julianne since Dancing with the Stars days.
Right.
Because I too was a ballroom dancer at one point.
You were?
I've lived a thousand lives.
Cat.
I was fully... After boarding school, I graduated boarding school / high school and came home. I didn't know anyone because everyone from my like grade had gone off to college to like go live their lives. And my stepmom gave me ballroom dancing lessons as like my graduation present.
Aww.
And I just like took to it like white on rice. And then,
you're good at it?
Yeah. I got to like silver level ballroom dancing. My specialty was Latin dances, and I did the cha-cha.
Wow!
And I would go like 5 times a week.
Laura.
And train with my dance instructor.
Would you ever do it again?
Yeah, I would. It was so fun. It's a great workout.
Because you do like kind of dance workout classes, right?
Not super.
No?
No.
Oh, I thought you did. You do Pilates.
I do right now. Like I'm doing like a Bunda.
And Stairmaster. Like Stairmaster. Yeah.
But like I don't love
hip hop
dance type of thing. I'm really bad at. But like ballroom dancing is really fun. I highly recommend for anyone interested. 10/10.
I love that. And whenever I hear that, I'm like inspired because for an article when I worked at Paper Magazine, I went to a fly girl body roll class.
Oh my God.
In Williamsburg or in Greenpoint. And it was actually really fun, but I was the only guy in the class, which was like fine. And yeah. I was expecting that. And I was not good.
No.
But it was fun.
Yeah.
And the instructor was incredible. But I felt like courageous after it.
That's brave.
Because it was brave for me.
Not easy.
No.
Because I'm a good... If it comes to any sort of like step combination, like hip-hop dancing, count me out. I'm in the back row, literally like flailing
it's
around.
It's hard.
I can't do it.
But I'm like, actually a good dancer. Like I'm a good wedding dancer. Like I can like get down.
Yeah.
And like I can like...
You do have the moment where like people get in a circle and you dance into it and you're just like feeling it.
Yeah.
I can see you fully having a moment.
And like moms like to dance with me.
Totally.
I'm like, I'll be that, you know, I'll do that for you. I'll be your like gay, like woo at the wedding, you know?
Yeah.
But like, I actually love it. And, but I too am not good at like following choreo. It's hard for me.
Mm-mm.
But I'm anyone who can dance a certain kind of dance, I'm very impressed by. Like, that is insane. Ballroom dancing is crazy. Simon was a ballet dancer. And he stands like, he is very, you know, he has that like kind of, like
he has good posture.
It's followed him his whole
life.
He's
graceful.
He is really graceful. And I'm like fascinated by that.
He is really graceful.
He is.
He is, though.
And my sister was an amazing tap dancer.
Oh, I love that.
And she did like intense. She was an amazing swimmer, but she was also a great dancer. And I think it made her a better swimmer.
Mm-hmm.
And she did like modern and tap dance. And like she danced in Disney World. And like they did this one routine I remember where they did, you know, that song Moby? Oh, darling, my.
Oh, yeah.
Did I tell you about this?
No.
They did like this amazing dance to that in Disney World. And my sister had like a tap dancing element of it. But anyway.
That's amazing.
I'm just impressed. I'm impressed by you.
I've got to be quite honest with you. I'm very impressed.
I thought you were your own woman. And you
I
were.
I thought you were your own woman.
Should we get into it?
Yeah, I think we should.
Yeah. Please.
Please
clap.
My guest. This episode featured a lot of the white range, which made me so happy.
Yeah, this was a... Danielle took to the streets.
Danielle, not only... It's like, she was so frustrated. Like, you know, whenever something shitty is going on in Danielle's life, she takes to the range.
Mm-hmm.
But this was so much shit hitting the fan that she couldn't even take to the range by the end of the episode.
Someone else
had
to take,
have Danny.
Mm-hmm.
Danny Provenzano?
She had to take to the passenger seat of the range.
Yeah, which is when you know shit's going down.
Well, before that, we go to Tree and Joe are at the brownstone and they're planning Adriana's christening.
Do you know when I saw the brownstone, I didn't realize it was the brownstone. And in my head, I was like, wow, that is a beautiful house.
I mean, it's indistinguishable.
Yeah, I mean, it's
at this
like,
point.
It doesn't look like. It was really, I was like, wow, I love this house. Whose house is this? And then I realized it was the brownstone.
I want to go.
I'm ready. It looks good.
Like, if we don't go to the castle and we just go to the brownstone, like, I want to smell it.
We have to get a fucking New Jersey itinerary together.
I know. We've been, like, slacking on that a little.
I know.
It's really, I think it would be easy to get to, and I just want to go in and smell, like, meatballs.
And they
and, like,
still operate it?
I think that's what, well, there were.
Because they were going to do the castle, but then they didn't.
There were reports that they weren't owning it anymore, but then they Caroline or someone tweeted like the Manzos are still in charge.
Okay, good.
But it looks actually beautiful and I want to go.
Yeah, I was like really into Adriana's whole party and I was like, this is where I belong.
Well, Joe is in complete panic because he's like
fully silent.
He just sees like ones and zeros and he knows Tree is like just
she's about to go off.
She's like a kid in the candy store.
And so they're planning Adriana's christening. And
Teresa's happy place is being in a banquet hall, planning an expensive event.
Yeah, like a six-figure event.
Mm-hmm.
Teresa goes, I want it to be like a mini wedding.
She's like, I'm thinking about ice sculptures.
She goes, I want two ice sculptures, one with Adriana's name and maybe, one cross.
And a cross. And maybe it says Adriana's christening at the brownstone.
Did you say that?
I think so. Or maybe I heard that wrong, but Chris is, Manzo is like their liaison, mm-hmm. which I was like, good for Chris.
Hey, he looked like, it seemed like he really got the job done, mm-hmm. and I was proud of him.
And doing double duty as godmother and decorator for the event is Dina. So Dina's, she comes back very briefly, which was like...
She hit it out of the park.
She did.
Yeah. Teresa's headband during
I know.
Scene, a brown sequin headband.
I loved it. She looked like a...
Is a lot for me to deal with.
Mm-mm.
Like a brown sequin.
Brown sequin.
I was like, hmm.
She looked like a cornucopia.
Yeah, it was very fall vibes.
Joe is so angry.
Joe is completely silent, but I loved his sweater and chain combo. Uh-huh. I was like turned on. It was very GQ.
Yeah.
His purse strings are tight.
Chris says the party will be banging. Which
it's banging.
Banging.
It'll be like my big fat Italian christening.
Mm-hmm.
Teresa's like, I like that.
I wrote, Joe looks hungover and nervous.
I said, he's about to self-destruct.
He looks like his, again, has like wine bags under his eyes.
He's stressed.
Yeah.
He goes, just make it nice and not too nice. You know what I mean?
You know what I mean?
And so we know then it's going to be like 90K.
She said many times it's going to be very Italian.
How much do we think it is?
I'd say over 100.
She said there were over 200 people there.
Maybe more. Maybe like 250. I mean, maybe I'm wildly getting that wrong.
Like, I would say, what do you think? Because I don't know anything about banquet halls or like
I think
events
at least,
in this way.
I think at least 90 to 100.
Because they've now had their housewarming party, which was a fucking blowout.
I mean, how much was that?
That must have been like 50K.
Yeah.
20 to 50K. This is now another blowout. Joe, do you think also that this is the moment where like he started to realize like they don't have enough money to truly like pay their bills and live?
Yeah.
So that's when he started committing all these fraud. And then that's when
Christine Staub,
Teresa started signing off on stuff.
Yeah. I think
this seems like the moment where those conversations would begin to happen.
I don't like, you know what? I'm going to say it was probably $50,000.
The housewarming?
No,
or
the christening.
Yeah, because it is Jersey after
and
all.
And I'm sure the Manzos gave them a bit of a discount.
Yeah,
right?
I guess you get envelopes for your daughter's christening. Like people slip you cash and stuff, so you end up walking away with like 10K.
Yeah.
I need numbers. If anyone can enlighten me on like a ballpark.
100,000. What was I thinking? But you don't know. Maybe I would say 30 to 50.
Okay.
And Joe, but I don't think they have the actual money to pay for it. I don't know how they paid for this wedding.
Yeah,
I don't know either. Moved around money?
I have truly no idea. If he's that stressed about it, it's like you must really be running out of cash.
That's how I feel when I've been really broke and I've moved my I'll have like $60 in my savings and I'll like move 20 to like my checking. And then my savings overdrafts. But I feel like I'm moving funds.
Yeah, I love like to move funds in a time of crisis. Yeah. Like I had to take Tony to the emergency vet this week.
Oh my God, that was so bad.
Tony ate marijuana. TBD, how he got his little mouth on it. But
he seems solid.
He bounced back. He's fine.
Yeah.
But he had to spend the night at the emergency vet.
No.
And a chill like $1,100 later.
Yeah.
That was me as Joe just like moving funds.
Ugh. I'm sorry that happened.
It's okay. Thank God for pet insurance is all I have to say.
Please don't leave your marijuana like on the street.
Don't.
Or drugs.
Throw your joint out the window. If you're going to, just put it in an ashtray somewhere.
Yeah.
Or just like, throw it away in your house or put it in like a little bag and then throw it in a trash can.
Any kind of drugs.
Yeah.
I find like little baggies of coke here and there when I'm walking around.
I think that's what happened is he just like ate.
Yeah.
A roach off the ground or like an edible or something. I truly didn't even see it happen. All I knew is like
he tested,
he got a drug test. he tested positive. I thought he was having a neurological event.
Ugh.
I thought he was had broken his spine.
Yeah.
And then, thank God, it turned out to just be, like, THC toxicity.
Dogs are resilient.
They are.
My dog used to eat pencils.
It was like nothing happened. Pencils?
Logan ate pencils.
Would he shit them out?
And he just eat them, and he was fine. Like lead poisoning.
Like lead.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that.
Right?
I love that dogs can just, like, eat whatever.
They can.
So Danielle takes to the range.
She takes Christine to the OBGYN. For
the Wayne Medical Center.
For, like, a lady appointment.
Mm-hmm. They walk in and Christine like tries to push the door open. She goes, pull, baby.
And she goes, you're funny.
You're funny.
You're funny.
And then as they're in the waiting room, Danielle begins to question Christine about her boy relationships.
This, you know, it actually felt kind of genuine. And it felt like it suddenly dawned on her, like she's probably never asked her about this stuff because she spends so much time
thinking about her own shit.
And like, crossing boundary, emotional boundaries, and like disclosing things that she shouldn't be with her kids that she hasn't asked. And she goes, look at me. Look at me and tell me you're a good girl. She goes, look at me and tell me you're a good girl, Christine. Look at me.
And Christine, you don't have any boys sniffing around?
Don't have any. And the woman, the receptionist,
the receptionist
is like,
a side eye multiple times.
Christine is.
The receptionist red flag warning signs are just going off full throttle.
Christina's left her body.
Mm-hmm.
Look
she's,
at me.
She's like shrinking down in her seat.
Tell me you're a good girl, Christine. And then
she leans in. Christine's like, Mom, stop. Mom, please stop. Mom, stop. And then Danielle leans in and gets like even closer to Christine. She goes, you are a good girl. You are a good girl. Are you a good girl?
Tell me.
You're a good girl. And it just like keeps kind of softly sexually repeating that over and over. I would literally unzip my skin and shed it and then walk out the door as like a muscular skeleton.
Yeah, you would like fully chrysalis.
I could not handle my mom doing that.
I wrote,
let alone doing it on camera.
I wrote, damn, exclamation point, grilling her. She's like interrogating her. And then I also wrote, Danielle knows what's up.
Yeah, because and she I think takes one to know. Is, like, sexually active. She seems, she has the vibe of someone that maybe has seen a dick.
Yeah, and then Danielle's, like, very just going, tell me, come on.
Tell me.
Any boys?
You are a boyfriend? Good girl.
No boys, right, Christine? Just tell me. Just tell me right now. Are you a good girl, Christine?
Mom,
stop.
Then it cuts to Danielle's, like, talking head, and she goes, it's like, or they go into male OBGYN.
He's sweet. Dr.
He is sweet.
Domnitz.
Yeah. I let him look at my piss.
Yeah, he had like a like kind of straight man, but like he's gay.
Yeah.
Like that kind of thing.
Like a friendly OBGYN. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, giving them like the whole what for. And then Danielle, in her talking end, she goes, once you have something, it's too late. And I was like, amen, sister.
I know. She goes, well, before she goes, is there someone that's interested in you, Christine? Oh my God. Yeah. And then he's like, you know, I recommend when a young woman turns 16 that they get the HPV vaccine.
And a solid recommendation.
And he's explaining HPV and Danielle's just, her face is like, oh, oh.
She starts shaking her head and making all these faces. Ugh. Christine's shrinking in her head. I wrote, Christine's in hell.
And Danielle, after he explains, and he's talking about, like, anal warts and, like, the, you know, symptoms of HPV. And then Danielle just goes, oh, she goes, don't have sex.
Do you even want to have sex after that?
Yeah.
It's no. Like, she goes, I believe the only way is abstinence. I'm like, yeah, right. Says the woman who got plowed on a sex tape.
But I love that. Her face, she goes, it's so performative. She goes, oh.
Oh.
She goes, why would you even want to have sex after hearing all that? And then she goes,
And then she goes, and oral sex. Can I just touch on that for a minute?
And she's like, you can't get anything from oral sex. Or can you? And he goes, yeah, you can. HPV is, you know.
You can get it.
You can get it from. And then she goes, oh.
And then he goes, so you might want to look into it if that's something that you're like interested in. Then Christine taps Danielle. Is like, yeah, you whore. Like, you better.
And Danielle goes, what's that about, Christine? What are you talking about?
She goes, what are you tapping me for? I don't date.
Yeah.
Christine
was like,
she was like, my mom literally has a sex tape. She gets like loads to the face.
Oh my God. tell me about oral sex. Can you? Does it apply to oral sex?
And oral sex. Can I just touch on that?
Can I touch on that for a minute? What about oral sex? Christine? I really believe that abstinence is the only way to have safe sex.
This is a wild scene.
I know.
I love it. Danielle's like, this is her way of like trying to like reshape her image after literally everyone see her like get bang bust.
God, she, yeah, it was very like, she was like putting on this like, oh, like
abstinence
pearl clutchers.
Is the only way.
We're good Catholic women. That's what we are.
You are a good girl.
You are a good girl, right, Christine?
Are you a good girl?
Don't have sex. Why would you want to have sex after that?
Why would you even
want
to have sex after hearing that?
Then we cut to Kim. Is that the wind?
The wind.
Jesus Christ.
The wind has picked up.
Corona.
Shit's happening.
Kim Ji's manor. Christopher is downstairs playing pool with John, Ji's son, and their best friends. And she has a magenta basement.
Yeah, it's a wild color scheme.
Yeah.
And then Kim Ji crashes their pool game.
She goes, boys. She goes, hi, boys.
She descends the stairs with like a big bowl of popcorn. She's like, I bought you popcorn for your game. She's dressed in head to toe pink.
And two bottles of Mott's.
Yeah.
Apple juice.
That's a good snack.
Yeah, it was actually kind of cute.
Her pink little like crocheted hoodie and then like her pearls and like jewelry and her little bouffant. I was like, whoa, Kim Ji's having a pink day.
Yeah. And she comes downstairs and she goes, hi, Chrissy.
Because my boys,
tell me what's happening.
And she wants to have a lunch date with Caroline.
She's completely putting Chris in an awkward position. He's like, yeah, you know, my mom just doesn't want to get involved with Danielle and she knows you guys are friends. So she's just kind of,
and she's like, well, I think you should make it work, Christopher.
And he's like, well, what, do you want me to go on it with you? And she goes, that'd be fun.
So she wants to have like a double date with her son.
It's like, what's that movie with Robin Wright and Naomi Watts?
What is that movie? Oh, it's so good.
Where they fuck each other's sons.
Yeah, and then they're both just like, They're like, That's what Kim Ji wants.
Yeah, she wants to swap.
So then...
I love her coming down like very like off the shoulder sweater, like very like...
That was a sexy look.
I'm the cool
mom. She was
trying
to seduce Chris.
She was trying to seduce him into getting her lunch with Caroline.
That was a seductive move. She never wears pink.
No.
Ever.
My boys.
Hello, boys. I bought you a little popcorn.
Bought you a little an apple juice.
Mm-hmm. For your big game.
They're both like, I'm traumatized by this.
Yeah. Her son disassociated.
Yeah.
He like stopped speaking.
He seemed a little less on Adderall this time.
Yeah, he did. Maybe his break from school is doing him good.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com.
And then we cut to the Giudices are getting ready for the christening. It's
the morning of. And
Gia goes, Mom, where's my purse?
Where's my purse? Gia is like, can I carry my silver and gold Juicy Couture purse? And then yeah. Teresa's like, yeah, for sure.
They just like they just give the girls bags of like silver and gold, like legit. They just have like bags of silver. Yeah. I feel like the Giudices are into like Catholic mysticism.
They probably are.
Yeah.
Each girl has like a different intricate dress, like mm-hmm. a fully color coordinated look, which I really appreciated because I thought at first they were going to make them all dress the same.
No, I liked it.
And I like that each one got like her own personality kind of vibe.
She got a stylist, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and my favorite outfit was Gabriella.
Yeah, Gabriella looked amazing. I liked Melania's, honestly.
I like when Melania comes barreling into the room. Adriana looks like...
Adriana's like lost. Yeah. She's like, literally, you found me in a supermarket. And like, where are my parents?
She's wearing a giant bonnet.
I feel like she experienced like a swap, like in the grocery store. Like,
yeah.
It was like a switched at birth, but just like Teresa grabbed the wrong kid like yeah. before she checked out. And the real Gabriella is like with some other family in New Jersey, and yeah. then this fake Gabriella ended up with like the Giudices.
Yeah, or yeah, that's she's like girl in the milk carton.
Teresa tries to put face lotion on Joe, who's also dissociated.
And then he threatens her with violence.
I swear to God, I'm gonna kick your ass in front of her parents.
Well, first she goes Joe, and then we cut to Joe, and he's shirtless with at the table with his parents in the room, and he's sitting in front of a mound of pizza rolls with
that's
his like
me.
Just his like muscle like beef body, and yeah. he's just sitting there, and he looks wine hungover as fuck, and he goes what? And she goes, Joe's been working long hours at the pizzeria.
I was like, I'm sure he's been really like slaving over yeah. pizzas, the pizzeria. She goes, you have to come upstairs and zip my dress.
He's like, oh, Tree, I don't want to go up there.
And then I love that now anytime Dina like enters, there's like a zen. Like,
sitar. Mm-hmm. I was like, get out of here.
Yeah, come on.
The godmother comes over.
New Jersey.
And Teresa, this is very witch-like. She's like, you know, for Italians, the godmother has to remove all the clothes from the baby and then dress. It was very like Wiccan.
What's that about?
I was into it.
I love it.
I'm as a Catholic. Mm-hmm. Catholicism is very witchy.
There's
lots of like you're invoking things and conjuring Christ and like using scents and like swinging.
It's hardcore Suspiria.
It's very Suspiria, and I love the Italian witchiness of like the godmother coming over, removing the baby's clothes, and then putting on like the christening gown.
Yeah,
and it's like she has to do it.
I love all the like
in Gucci shoes,
costumey elements of Catholicism, yeah. And like the jewels and mm-hmm. all the glamour is like a very big yes for me. But then I'm like, it's very boring.
Yeah. No, it sucks. But it's like, there's some aspects of like the traditions that I'm into.
Yeah.
And I love the drama and the theatrics of like people in the parish being chosen to take gifts up.
Mm-hmm.
Like that kind of shit. I love it. I like
the communion like style of, because like my like communion growing up, I wasn't even like called communion.
Yeah.
And like they would just pass around trays of like crackers and grape juice because we were Baptist, so it's like you don't drink wine, you just like drink grape juice and eat like a cracker. And it's like that's not the same as like having like a hot priest daddy put like a wafer in your mouth and then you drink out of a cup of wine
and you like look up at him and he's like putting it in and you're like
yeah, and he's like
yeah. Or like some like rando parish person who's mm-hmm. like suddenly and you see it when they're handing the communion out, like these people that were just because you get chosen like to be the lectern or to like help the priest hand out, you see this change in them, like they're like I feel full of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And I love it because they're kind of possessed.
Totally.
But yeah, so Dina comes over and she has Gucci shoes.
They're really cute.
They're really sweet.
She goes, her first pair of Gucci shoes.
Yeah. She goes, oh, Adriana, you're so beautiful.
And Teresa turns to Joe. She goes, Joe, it's her first pair of Gucci shoes. And he goes, huh.
He goes, huh. And she goes, oh, Teresa doesn't give a fuck, which I loved.
Baby Adriana is so cute.
She really is like a little
cherub,
little elf.
And then Teresa goes, Gia, tell her she's Bella.
Oh, yeah.
And then she is like, Mamma Mia.
Yeah, Gia goes, she goes, oh, Adriana, baby. Oh, come here. Come here. I'll come and tell you. And she goes,
ciao, Bella. Mwah. Ciao, Bella. Oh, goes, you're so beautiful.
She goes, oh, Mama, before we go out, let me run and get a tomato for her.
We got to crack the tomato over her head.
I made sauce for the baby, so we'll pack it in the baby's bag, and she'll have a little bit of jar of sauce in there, and we'll bring it into the church.
A fingerful of sauce in her mouth right before the communion.
And I put holy water in the tomato sauce. We'll put it on her. Have her smear it. I'll put a little on the back. Don't tell the priest.
Let me put a little on her forehead, yeah. Ash Wednesday. Dina,
she goes, don't tell. I put a tomato right in the back of her dress, but you don't tell my mom. Don't tell my mom. She doesn't get it.
She is a tomato mystic.
She is a tomato mystic. And like a pasta mystic. She reads fortunes through like...
She reads like
manicotti.
Bones.
Yeah. She reads... Manicotti. Manicotti fortune.
Oh my god, yeah, she does read like broken pasta. If you go in for a reading with Gia, she takes like fresh pasta that was made like that morning that's like dried out, and she looks she you goes, in the eyes. She's
oh,
wearing
smell
like
it.
A full-blown like scarf yeah. around her head with a yeah. crystal ball, and then she goes, first we crush.
Yeah,
and then she crushes it in her hand. And then she just, like, throws it on the table.
Yeah.
And then she reads, like, where the pasta all lies on the table.
And when she needs to astral project, she'll hold a tomato.
Mm-hmm.
And she'll go, and she'll put
she
her...
She goes to go see your future.
She'll put her little feet in, like, a bucket of water and hold a tomato. And, and she'll go, okay, now I wait. And she closes her eyes and she leaves her body slowly.
And she looks into your past, present, and future to tell you, like, what's what.
Mm-hmm.
And then she goes, oh, Mamma Mia. Oh, Mamma Mia. That's what she says with her eyes closed over
oh,
and over.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. No, yes.
Oh, Pompeii.
Yes, Mamma Mia. Oh, Pompeii. She astral projects to
oh,
Pompeii.
Giovanni. She just says, like, random Italian names. Oh, Salerno. Oh.
Oh, the old country.
Yeah, she just names, like, cities in Italy.
Even if you're not city. Italian.
Yeah.
She sees somehow your connection mm-hmm. to the old country.
shh, put the tomato in a dress. Don't say anything, Adina. Put it in there. So they head to the church, and then we cut to...
Well, Joe, first they try and take a lot of pictures, and Joe has reached his threshold.
Oh, he's gritting his teeth.
And then they're on the way to the church. There, he goes, two pictures I'm taking, and then I'm like King Kong. I start going crazy.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So then we cut to Kim G's house, and Danielle's comes over, and Danielle's waiting outside, and Kim G walks up, and she goes, peekaboo. She goes, I see you.
That's truly what greets you at the gates of hell.
And then Danielle walks in and she goes, oh, I love that we both are the same size. I love having that in a friend. She goes, almost as much as I love you.
Danielle goes, my relationship with Kim G is very special to me.
She goes, Kim is a very well-respected and very wealthy woman in the area. I was like,
she's like, cool.
Okay, you're just flat out... This is why you're friends with
her. She's my dearest friend.
She's my dearest friend, and we're the same size, too.
And then, and then you come to find out that Danielle has come over to Kim G's house to tell her that she wants to find her biological mother.
She goes, I'm hoping Kim can help me out with something. So she's going over with an agenda.
Yeah, with an agenda.
Always.
And, like, to ask her for some sort of free help in, like, what would otherwise cost, like, probably hiring a private investigator or something.
Because Kim knows people.
Yeah, and Danielle's biological mom was 14 when she got pregnant and 15 when she gave birth. That's wild.
Yeah, and she never met her, and she was raised by...
A pack of wolves.
Yeah, the Merrills. Beverly Merrill. That was her name.
Oh, yeah.
But she always, she
I
goes,
just pictured like a pack of Meryl Streep.
I know.
Meryl's.
Well, Meryl is from Jersey.
The plot thickens,
but it's like actually a sad story. And she's like, my mom had to give me up and
I want her to meet her.
And she's like, I just want to smell my mom.
She goes, I just want to smell her. And Kim G goes, oh boy.
She goes, oh boy. She goes, she's like a daughter's age. And I was like, does Kim have a daughter?
What is Kim's family situation?
I don't
she
know.
Has that son. She has that husband that may or may not have escorted her to the brownstone.
Or to Christine's birthday.
Christine's birthday.
She has a mother-in-law.
Oh, she sure does.
She definitely has family, but I'm sure she's not letting it. All of them be on camera.
Danielle, acting surprised when Kim G tells her she'll help her, was like,
oh my God,
you gotta be kidding me.
She goes, Kim G goes, I know a guy, I'll help you out. And Kim G's crying, and she's like, and then Danielle goes, oh, I've always said I wish we were a guy in another life. And then Kim G goes, we're like dating.
She goes, I told you we were dating,
right? We're dating, right?
And they are, like, fully in a relationship.
Yeah.
I fully believe after the way that this episode panned out,
yeah,
that they were in a sexual, like, totally, a psychosexual relationship with each other.
So then that happens. And then we cut back to the christening.
The christening.
Everyone, it's like, because they can't let, I guess, a production company... crew in the church.
Oh, yeah. So it's all filmed on iPhones.
Everyone walks in their minks. Very Godfather.
Very Godfather. And Caroline goes,
oh,
it's always nice to see the kids get christened.
Oh my God. Caroline walks in a full and she goes, oh, she's just beautiful.
She's just beautiful.
It's always love seeing it.
Adriana has a rhinestone pacifier.
Mm-hmm.
Glam.
They're all standing there. Ashley's there. The whole family. They're all there.
Ashley's playing nice for once in her life.
And it's actually, like, pretty sweet, and Dina and the Godfather, like, do all their shit.
Yeah.
And then they cut to the brownstone.
And Caroline is really proud of Christopher, because
Critifa. Which I'm like, stop.
Ew.
Stop. That's
stop.
Not okay.
It's inappropriate.
Yeah, stop it.
Because he really pulled off the christening and made it a gorgeous event. There's a huge ice sculpture and a bread sculpture.
And a French courtesan serving sushi.
Oh, yeah.
Like a woman dressed up like Marie Antoinette with a giant puff dress. And she's in the middle of the table of sushi.
That's power.
And Caroline goes, look, it's Marie Antoinette serving sushi.
She's never seen such a thing.
Never seen it.
I need a bread sculpture with like a positive message about me ASAP. So who's going to make that happen?
Let's get this going.
I want a Giusta loaf of sourdough bread with like We love you, Lara.
Lars.
Love you, Lars.
Lars.
In the center.
I think we can make that happen.
Okay. That's like, I don't want a birthday cake ever again.
You want a bread
I just
sculpture.
Want bread sculpture.
Do you follow Breadface?
Yeah. Okay. Love her.
Yeah. She's a great follow for everyone who's listening.
Fantastic follow.
She just like shoves her face into bread.
Different types of bread. Every different post is like, a different famous bread or not famous bread. And she just like peels the bread with her face.
I love it.
This is basically a wedding.
It's insane. And Christopher walks up. Teresa and Jacqueline and Caroline are all in the corner. And Teresa walks up to Christopher and goes, she goes, "You're my bitch for the night." I was like, damn,
scary. And she and Joe have their first dance with their baby.
Yeah,
and which was really sweet. Caroline was shook, makes her cry.
Jacqueline is bawling.
Jacqueline goes a full, like her body just like folds in half, and she openly sobs.
She's like mourning the loss of Ashley's
innocence.
Yeah, and she starts crying, and then. We cut to a glimpse of Kathy Wakili and Melissa Gorga, who look so like...
They're right in the corner.
They're in the corner. And I remember they said at Adriana's christening, they were like shoved in the back corner and were not near like the family. And even though it was like her brother and her cousin.
Yeah, because it was like, stay the fuck away from us.
And they looked pissed.
Yeah, Kathy had a look on her face that was like, I don't love this.
I wonder if the producers saw that and were like...
They were like, these are the ones. Because Dina had quit by then. So they were like, we need to replace her. But Dina and Teresa still talk? No.
Yeah.
They do.
Caroline and Dina don't talk.
Oh, okay.
But I've got to be quite honest with you. Knowing now what I know about Dina and Caroline, I felt a little tension between them at the christening.
Oh.
Because Caroline was like, I'm so proud of Dina. She was, she did an amazing job. But then when Dina was talking to them, she was kind of like standoffish a little with Caroline.
Mm-hmm.
And Caroline seemed kind of awkward with her.
What's their beef?
Oh, I feel like it's some money shit. I mean, her husband worked with Albie. But I also feel like...
with Albert Sr.?
I think it's Jacqueline. Didn't we read that? Remember?
That Jacqueline is like the person who caused drama between them.
Well, Teresa had a theory. Oh my God. Also, we need to talk about Teresa and Caroline's Super Bowl ad where they're back together for like pita chips.
Yeah. For like hummus or something.
That was gave me chills.
Yeah. I was excited to see them.
I think they're like friends again.
It was good. It was a good move for everyone.
I hope that means Caroline's coming back.
She should.
I would love to see her with these new girls.
I actually have not watched the season, but I would love to.
Because Danielle's back,
but now Danielle's gone.
Yeah, she's gone.
So it'd be good for Caroline. Like Caroline would come back potentially.
But I think Teresa was told by someone that Caroline or Jacqueline were feeding information to the feds about Joe and Tree.
Oh shit!
And I feel like Dina believed her and like cut off. But I feel like it has something to do with Jacqueline. And Caroline took Jacqueline's side.
Damn.
And Dina was like, fuck you.
That's hardcore.
You're supposed to be my sister.
Jacqueline's a rat?
A rat's a rat and a rat.
Joe and Tree sidebar. And then she's like, did it turn out nice? Did you like it? And she's like, this will be the last christening. You don't want to take any pictures anymore, do you? No more pictures. And then you can tell Joe's shit-faced by this point. He's like blackout. He's like, pictures I don't like. What's the difference? Like, he just is mumbling.
He goes, but he was like, in this moment, he was like, I kind of want another baby.
Yeah.
He was blackout, happy, like false bliss, and was like, I could do it again.
Yeah, he wants another baby, but then he also says he's going to go.
He goes, good night. And Teresa goes, what do you mean good night?
Are you leaving?
He goes, I'm going to go home.
He's going to the Guma.
Blackout.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. His lady.
Danielle.
Also Gia dancing. There's a shot of Gia just going with her hands. She dances like that. I've seen her dance like that before.
She loves it. She's a wedding dancer.
She is.
She's like a full... You and Gia bring this same kind of vibe to weddings and events on the dance floor.
Just hamming it up.
I love it.
And then we go back to Preakness we go.
Back to Preakness, the iconic Preakness Diner. Danielle.
They pull up in the range, and she goes, "Oh God, I'm starving.
I'm starving."
And then Christine goes, "I'm starving," and Danielle goes, "Me too."
Thank God for the Preakness Diner.
I wrote, "I'm Jilly chowing down on chicken tenders."
Jilly goes into a fugue state and just like robotically eats fries and sucks down a milkshake.
So what happens is Christine says, someone in my class told me that their mom was talking about you, Danielle, looking, my mother, looking for her biological mother." And Danielle goes, "Huh. The only one who could have known that was Kim G, and Kim G alone." So Danielle's immediately on against Kim G.
Yeah, because Kim G clearly spilled the beans. But for why, we don't know.
And then Jilly's like, plays devil's advocate. She's like, "Well, maybe someone just overheard. I don't know." And then
one could overhear it.
No, Danielle snaps at Jilly and goes, "Nobody could have overheard her, Jilly." Like, she goes full psych, and Jilly, just, you see her, like, look down at her tenders.
She retreats into her milkshake, and then Danielle goes, "She's not who I think she was," about Kim G.
My God. And then she goes, "I gotta take care of this, girls." She goes, "I'll be right back." And she just leaves her daughters out of the booth, and then Christine goes, "Great family dinner."
Yeah, and then the daughters are just left there, and you sent me the most iconic screen grab of Danielle on the phone.
In the background,
while the girls just, like, find solace in sisterhood.
Christine's leaning again. Look at this. Danielle's in the window on her phone with Danny. She calls up Danny, and she goes, "Hey, it's me."
Also, like, I love that her first instinct is to call Danny, of all people.
Look how sweet they are.
I know, they're so sweet. Little baby faces.
Christine just, like, leans against Jilly, and it's like, they just...
They're just like, "Wow, mom's insane again. Every day, I think they feel like maybe today will be a bit better, and she won't go crazy over something, and every day they're proven wrong."
I think Christine mothers Jilly.
Yeah. Who else is gonna do it?
Yeah. Like, they just, it's, that was dark. And she calls up Danny, and she's like, "Looks like Kim G isn't the one I thought she was." And then Danny's like, "Well, we knew she was going to turn to the other side."
He goes, "She's neighbors with these people."
She's like, she was talking to Teresa, like, so she's fully against Kim G now. And then Danny says, Daniel goes, "Now we're on to it." And then basically,
he goes, "You let me know how you want to handle this." Like, what is there to handle?
Are you gonna,
like,
whack,
you're
going to
kill her?
Kill Kim G?
Please don't.
Why does she call Dan? Does she just need to have someone?
I think she needs an echo chamber that will, like, mirror her own insanity back to her. And she knows that he's the most reactive person in her life. So, like he can get crazy, and then it gets her all revved up, and it just feels good to have someone else that cares. Also, maybe they're fucking.
No, they totally are fucking.
Yeah. Because why else would you call? Like, that's the first person you call. I thought she was going to call Kim G.
No, but I think it's the former of what you just said. Like, I think it is, she's like, who can I need to just be crazy right now? And my daughters, I know, I don't want to do it in front of them.
So I'll do it just with a glass, window between me and them.
A partition of, like, nothing.
So they can see me being crazy, but they won't hear it full force.
But she needs, it's like an addict needing, like, a line.
Yeah.
Of something.
It's validating to have an ex-con be like, like, threaten to kill your enemy for you.
And now we're on to it.
You so let me know how you want to handle this.
You let me know how you want to handle this. Oof. So then we cut to
Caroline. She's checking in on Chris.
I wrote, Christopher is Caroline's new favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Because Albie's like,
Albie's a failure.
She's like, now I got to move on.
She's like, my idiot son.
I have to switch
failing
gears.
Out of college. I was, he's like, joined the police academy.
In this moment, I was like, Caroline, you hitched yourself to the wrong wagon. Mm-hmm. Because Christopher is the one who's going to actually have money.
Yeah. Does he have money?
I think he just seems like he's more...
He's a little more, like, grounded.
Street smart.
Yeah. And Chris tells her that Kim has, like, been talking about her. And then Caroline goes, and how is Mrs. G? Won't even deign to call her by her first name. And just Mrs. G.
How is Mrs. G? And then She keeps calling him Critifer, and I'm like, you gotta stop.
Please don't.
It's not okay. It's inappropriate.
They do mother, son, baby talk to each other.
It's a violation.
He is like, thanks, mommy.
Yeah, I don't like it. Like, my mom will call me, like, when she calls me, she goes, hi, honey.
Or, well, like, yeah, that's, like, normal.
Like, or, like, if, like, I'm, like, upset, she'll go, like, oh, my baby boy, you know, like, or something. But, like, she doesn't call me, like,
Kiwi.
I would report her.
Yeah.
To
and fully check her into a nursing home.
Yeah.
I'd be like, it's time, mom.
What is that?
It's just their, like, pet thing. It's their weird family
I don't
thing.
Like that.
I'm not saying it's like,
I'm just saying it's just emotionally weird.
She just probably started doing that when Albie started fucking up. Then she turned to, like, get into Chris's good graces. Then she turned to Critifer.
Oh my God. Every time she says it in front of Albie, it's like a knife to his heart.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
He feels nothing but deep, dark shame.
It's like some psycho emotional thing.
Yeah. She's fully, like, Black Swan momming.
And then we cut to Jacqueline's house, and she answers the door, and it's Kimji, and then Kimji just goes, she's a motherfucker! And she goes, oh, sorry, the baby.
It's also like the baby doesn't know what you're saying.
Jacqueline just literally opens the door, and it's Kimji, and she goes, oh, I gotta come in, she's a motherfucker! And then Jacqueline goes, come on in, because she knows exactly what she's talking about.
And Kimji is furious.
She goes, I haven't slept. I woke up at 3 a.m. and I haven't been up. I've been up since.
Kimji's just been up twiddling her thumbs.
Okay, but she comes in like a wreck. She's shaky. Like, I'm like, damn, she's
hyperventilating.
My first thought was like, oh, did Danielle and like some goons like
come threaten her?
Come like pound on her windows and like shine flashlights and like ring the doorbell and like.
Yeah, like, it was like something horrible must have happened.
Did she get like menacing phone calls all night? But no, she got an email.
Nothing even, she didn't even get it.
Danielle just emailed
someone else and said, don't be friends with her. And that's what got Kimji up. And it's such a tizzy that she had to run, shuffle over to Jacqueline's
and
house.
Swear in front
and
of an
kick
infant.
Down the door. She's a motherfucker.
She's a motherfucker. I gave her my chauffeur. I did so many things for her. And then Jacqueline's like,
she can't even like speak proper English.
No.
She's so frazzled. And she's like, she said, let her use my driver. I did so much for her kids. I went to the pharmacy for her daughter. And she's out with my friends picking up tabs.
And she goes, she acts like an ass. An ass acts like that.
And that makes Jacqueline laugh.
Yeah. Jacqueline's just like, she's like, well, she's like, I'm having a hard time feeling bad for you because you like betrayed me and our friendship and like went after my daughter.
Yeah, and you
in
like
the court of law
went to court with this person that you're now turning on, like you're not to be trusted.
And then Jacqueline's like in her confessional, she's like, you know, I almost have sympathy for Danielle because, or like I understand why Danielle is upset with her because she's like, Kimji has been talking about her to everyone she know, like everyone else in the world. Like she's not a good friend. She's basically like, Kimji is not a good friend to her.
Yeah, she's a bad friend. And then Kimji goes, she can go fucking scratch my ass. Okay.
Yeah, but also like,
Kimji's in love with Danielle.
She is.
She's obsessed with her.
I think she was titillated like she's never been before.
I think she got sucked in.
Like a late in life, like gay moment.
Yeah, she squirted for the first time at like 67 and like she really got like all wrapped up in Danielle's game. And then like when Danielle explained that like it's not serious, like this is just two girls having fun.
Yeah.
And Kimji was like ready to leave her husband.
Kim, I gotta say, I'm not ready for that commitment.
I have to be quite honest with you, I'm still playing the field.
A woman like me can't be tamed. She goes,
Kimji got jealous of Danny. She goes, you gotta stop talking to Danny. And she goes, who? Danny? Danny Provenzano?
No, I think, yeah, it's something else happened, but it was, I also think Kimji is just so insecure about like
everything,
her standing in the community. And I think she realized hanging with Danielle has alienated her from like her social group. And I think she's just having like a full like white woman meltdown.
Yeah, where she needs to be really performative about how much she hates her in order to get back in good graces with like her previous friend.
I think she just got lost in like the Danielle like
the web.
Game.
Yeah.
And
it's a seductive web.
She got totally seduced by the devil and she gave up all her friendships for it. And now suddenly it's like, she's like, oh shit. Like, she like came to from her pheromone overload.
She's about to go full Gloria Swanson Sunset Boulevard.
100%.
And she goes, but at the end of that scene, she goes, she could have had it made with me. And I was like, you guys are fucking. You guys were in
Lara
love.
Lara put her notepad down and went,
this I looks know like that a feeling.
This looks like a job for Detective Lara. And then you just hear,
I go to the library. Right to the library.
Right to the library. And you just see you like looking down books using a magnifying glass.
What a history.
Going through those like, what are those like newspaper things that come up on the projector screen?
Yeah.
And you come through.
And I get like a magnifying glass to really like.
Mm-hmm. And then the camera pans up, zooms in on you and you go, they are fucking.
It's true. They have fucked. Yeah,
that was kind of a giveaway.
Yeah.
She could have had it made with me. Like, also, like, who are you?
Yeah. Who and what are you?
Like, me? What? How? Anyway.
A lot of questions. Danny comes over to Danielle's and he goes, she opens the door. He goes, hey, how you doing? She goes, gives him a hug. She goes, oh, my back. Danielle's just like one of those people whose body is like just falling apart the second she's like in emotional distress.
She's just like literally like, you know when I know who killed me when Lindsay's just like limbs are falling, like her finger falls off. Like Danielle's just having her emotional turmoil is so strong that like
it physically
appendages
manifests.
Will fall off.
Yeah.
Oh, my back.
Oh, my back.
Like what?
What are you talking about? We also watched.
Oh.
We have to talk about that. We watched like a B-side footage of this season of Ronje, where after Danielle is assaulted by Ashley and has her hair ripped out of her skull, she holds a meeting with like everyone that was there.
Yeah,
and was a witness.
I was sent on Twitter, his name's Ryan Tweets, he sent me the video. He's like a sup listener, and he sent me, yeah, it's like I must have been B-side from the in the aftermath of the Posh Fashion Show. I don't know why they didn't include it.
I don't know either. Why would you ever cut a scene of Danielle out?
I'll just skip.
So, yeah.
I wanted to tell you all, first of all, thank you so much for the other night, for being there. And I really appreciate it.
It's Harry.
Really grateful to Dennis.
And Dennis.
For having the foresight to know that something was going down.
Like four random women that you've never seen before.
She had blood in her eyes.
She was just like going and egging and egging.
Kathy's there, of course.
Who is that?
Kim G. Kim D.
If she could have been a knife or something, she would have been flailing it.
Oh, they had utensils.
Oh, they had utensils.
Oh, they had utensils.
It's they're sitting in her living room. And it's her bodyguard, Kim
Harry.
G's chauffeur, Harry, Kim G., Kathy.
Christine.
Christine's sitting on like with the dog, just like listening.
With like an undernourished, like a dying chihuahua on
and
her
a bunch
lap.
Of random women
and
who look
like
they're on like Rock of Love.
Yeah, they are really totally TBD.
And it's just her being like, I wanted to have you all over to decompress about what happened. And it's just them going over and Kim G's like, I have never seen you that way, Danielle. You were frail, shivering in the corner, and she's like turned on talking about it.
Yeah, she's
that she
wet.
Came to her rescue.
Yeah, and then
she goes, I'm having pain today from being pulled like that. But also Kim G mentions that Teresa fully, and I remember that we all forgot this, but she fully shoved Kim G. Like,
oh,
Kim
yeah.
G was like straight up assaulted.
Kim G was assaulted,
and because Danielle got her hair pulled, it's like
that takes the cake.
Yeah, and yeah. She's like, today I have a bit of whiplash. It hurts to turn my neck and my eye. I can't really look up.
She goes, my face is feeling a lot of pain in my face all the way down to my shoulder. Like, it's nerve pain almost. Like, she's claiming to have like nerve damage from getting her hair pulled out, which is not possible.
And then Christine at one point goes, she goes, I'm so glad I wasn't there because I would have gone after Ashley.
Yeah, she gets intense.
She's brainwashed.
She has a lot of anger just like ready to bubble up to the surface.
She's like misplaced anger at her mom.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, I wish I was there.
Yeah, she would have been like, that scene in Fight Club where Brad Pitt or Edward Norton just like beats the shit out of Jared Leto.
Yeah.
That would have been Christine coming for Ashley.
Like at the blind rage. Zone.
Yeah, like blind rage, like beat it to a pulp.
Anyway, I think it's on Twitter. If I'll post it.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
It's anyway, a real gem.
We cut to, so Danielle goes to meet Kim Ji at this restaurant. And yeah. It's like a weird restaurant.
It's called Portobello. She goes, what I want to do is go over to Portobello and let her know that I know. So they go over to Portobello, which has like the craziest sign I've ever seen for like a nice Italian restaurant. It's like very 80s talking heads aesthetic.
Yeah.
And Danielle in her talking head, speaking of talking heads, does a full baby voice that is Satan personified.
Yeah.
And she goes, like trying to talk about like why Kim Ji would like tell, like blab her business all over town. And she's like, maybe, just maybe, they'll be my friends too.
Yeah.
And I was like, that is chilling. Hellish.
She was like, on the way over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's that was unwell. So she finally meets her and Kim Ji goes, hi, Danielle. And she sits down at a large empty table with Kim Ji.
A huge table for six.
Yeah, is she like intercepting some?
I don't know what is happening, but I think that Kim Ji has like called members of the community to observe this fight.
It's all women.
It's all women at the restaurant.
It's like it takes place in a world where there's only women.
Yeah, and like everyone is bearing witness to this moment and like slowly gathering around. It's very like Eyes Wide Shut almost. Because the crowds are closing in.
And they're all like whispering about it.
And like laughing. And then by the end, when Kim Ji is like running out of the restaurant chasing Danielle, a sea of women swarm out behind her. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
It was so weird.
I think she did tell a bunch of her friends to come watch.
Yeah.
To like prove to them that she was like severing her ties with Danielle.
It was her acting debut.
It was kind of frightening.
It was terrifying.
There was a tabletop of just two women by the wall, and she was literally next to her shoulder was the fire alarm. It felt fake. I was like, did they just stage this restaurant for tonight?
I think they did, or like said, we're going to film like a scene from Real Housewives of New Jersey, like come be an extra in the background.
And all these women just came and
they were
women
all
at the
just
bar,
like laughing and whispering and looking. Wine. Yeah, like wine drunk at like 5 p.m.
And it's like a weird, yeah, the whole thing was very unsettling.
Yeah, it was like
Kim Ji also chucks a napkin.
Rosemary's Baby, like the final scene of Rosemary's Baby.
It was. She chucks a napkin at Danielle when she snaps. She goes, that's I've had enough.
She goes, you're a goddamn liar and a snake, Danielle.
Yeah.
And, like, and throws a napkin into Danielle's face.
Danielle goes,
please do not talk to me that way.
Please do not throw things at me, Kim. And then Danielle just stays so calm because she's a psychopath.
Yeah, Danielle, like, oh, Danny, when he drops her off, he's like, let me know. He's like, hands in pockets, don't throw any punches. And she goes, that is so not me. And like shuts the door and like goes in. And I was like, it really isn't her. She's very like Martin Luther King about everything.
Yeah. And she goes, you're a goddamn liar, okay? And you know it. You know it, Danielle.
But like, what are they even fighting about at this point? Like, what is Kim Ji fighting with Danielle about?
Also, Kim Ji's, when she screams, the timbre of her voice is that of a drunk man.
Yeah.
Because she chases her outside and then, and listen to this.
Jealous, that's what you
I'm
are.
Jealous?
You're f***ing jealous, that's what you
I'm
are.
Jealous?
It sounds like dual voice, like it's in a possession.
Really scary.
You're jealous, that's what you are.
She accelerates, like, she goes from 0 to 60.
She's on coke.
You think?
Something
went awry.
She's on some weird cocktail of something. I think she's
snapped her medication.
Or she's on or she took an Adderall or something. Like something's up with her because
she even looks different. Like she's doing like a different kind of hairstyle. She doesn't look as soft in the face. Like she has fully been possessed by a demon.
Maybe this is actually the real Kim. We've just been hiding it.
You're a goddamn liar and a snake, Danielle.
Yeah. You're just fucking jealous.
You're just jealous. She chases her out into the fucking parking lot. Danielle is like walking away, yeah. And then Danny pulls up just perfectly.
Get me out of here.
Get me out of here. And then she gets in the range. And then Kim G stands at the top of the stairs.
She goes, have fun with your friends, Kim. And then she goes, I have friends. You don't got any friends. Just you and your fake square tits.
Screaming. As a sea of women come out and follow that.
In a little tight, body tight hugging dress and black tights.
She looks like Liza Minnelli in that Sex and the City with her little legs.
You're just fucking jealous.
You know what you are? You're just fucking jealous. And like grabs her and shaking her by the shoulders. Daniel goes,
wow. Okay.
Okay.
She goes, you've never done any. She goes, you haven't done anything for me. Which I was like, Kim has done a lot for
she's
her.
She's done. Seems like she actually has. Like, I mean,
she's like given her money.
Yeah. She's like paid for a lot of your life.
Yeah. But she's just suddenly like, you've never been a friend, Kim.
You've not done one thing for me.
And that was a lover's quarrel.
Yeah. And I think maybe what she's saying she lied about is like, she asked Danielle if she was like still fucking Danny. And Danielle was like, no, of course not, baby girl. And then and then Kim G did figure out that Danielle was fucking Danny.
You're just jealous.
You're a goddamn liar and a snake, Danielle.
And you know it.
And you know it.
Okay.
And then it chases her out. That then, dramatic, like at the top of the stairs in kind of like right before sunset.
Yeah.
Being like,
how drunk did she get that night?
Fucking blammo.
Damn, that was like, and then that's the last we see of Kim.
Is she not in the show anymore after that?
I don't think so.
Wow, even producers were like, we can't fuck with this.
I think she comes back in the reunion. I mean, there's still so much left in this season, but yeah. I think she comes back maybe a little, like she enters posh and talks about it. But I think that's, and what a way to go out.
She went out with a bang. She really worked hard.
She came in hard and left even harder. So I salute Kim G. I'm terrified of her, but I love her.
Yeah, I salute her as well. That Peek-a-boo. Was an Oscar-worthy performance.
You're just jealous.
No, you are. You're just jealous.
Jealous.
Okay.
Okay, Kim.
Have fun with your friends, Kim.
Have fun with all you. I was like, she has
friends. You don't have any friends.
I got all the friends.
I got all the friends. All you got is your fake square tit.
Her cold tit.
Your cold tit.
Damn.
I hope that we all have a Danny Provenzano in our life that can whip the range around right when we need him the most.
He's got nothing else to do.
No, he literally just waits idling in a parking lot for 30 minutes until he sees like the women all running out, and then he's like vroom, vroom, and then just like circles dramatically to pick her up.
It was Eyes Wide Shut.
Yeah, it was really
all them.
Yeah, or like The Faculty or something. It was like when people know things that like you don't know,
mm-hmm.
and they're kind of closing in on you. It was like a bad dream.
Do you remember the movie Inception when there's that part where there's like a crowd of people like surrounding Ellen Page, and then Marion Cotillard just parts her way and takes a knife and just stabs her.
Yeah.
And she just, without words, she just runs up to her. And I was like, that's what that was.
That is what that is.
It was very like cyber dream.
I would really, like, that's like a horror, a true horror.
Mm-hmm.
Is like suddenly you look around and everyone in a restaurant is looking at you and like whispering and laughing. As though they know you, but they don't know you at all.
Damn, every day is a drama, is like a horror movie for Danielle.
This is like Lynchian.
Anyway, we've got more to come.
There's much more to come on this season.
You can
please
follow
Carrie at eCarrieO on Twitter and Instagram. Follow me at Lars Marie. You can buy tickets to our live show. I'm now just like going to be sharing links every day on my Instagram
LA,
to buy.
We need more people in LA.
LA, show yourselves.
Show yourselves. I've got to be quite honest with you, LA. I'm very disappointed.
You better show yourselves at the live show. You won't want to miss it.
Chicago,
March 18th.
New York, NYC, April 22nd.
April 22nd.
Come on.
Come on. Just buy yourself a little ticket as a treat.
Stay healthy.
Wash your hands for at least 20 seconds.
Wear a face mask if you need, if it just makes you feel better.
Take safety precautions. Go on Etsy, search for Louis Vuitton face masks. You might find something cute.
And we'll see you next week.
Love and light. Bye.